Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, right now we have with us on the line from Great Britain, Josie McDonald, who is certainly one of the champions of exposing the danger of genetically modified food. And she, of course, has been in touch with the European Parliament. She's recognized all throughout Europe, you know, as an expert on the danger of genetically modified food, which is not even allowed to be discussed here in America, and certainly never mentioned by the media, played down by our Federal Drug Administration. But this is a very real threat to the safety of the people. Well, or at least over in Great Britain and in the Europe, why Josie has played a large part in preventing genetically modified food from infiltrating the society. So, Josie, why don't you tell us about what's going on over there? What was this meeting that you spoke at where people came from all over to hear your remarks?
Oh, that was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Right.
Oh, well, last month my phone rang and a voice said, my name is Maria, and I want you to come to Switzerland and give a talk against GM.
All right, so did you go? Josie, did you go? I'm afraid, Josie, are you there? Well, it seems Josie, are you there?
I'm there. But a loud noise. I can't hear anything but a loud noise.
Will you go right ahead? We'll call you back here in just a moment when we go to the break. You go ahead and talk for a couple of minutes, and the noise is gone for now.
Oh, yep, the noise is gone. They asked me to go for 4 days, and she met me at Zurich and drove me 30 miles to her farm. And lots of other farmers asked me to go and see their farms. And comparing it with this country and its farms, where now we have got farmers going out of business, milk who are underpaid by the supermarkets buying their milk, and the farmer losing money on it. It's also receiving red tape and very important items, they think, to the farmers all the time. And the information and the orders to the farmers is coming from the European Commission.
And, of course, basically what you're, in essence, is saying is that the European Commission, not the British Parliament, is really putting out directives to the farmers and telling the farmers how to farm. Is that right?
Yes. And we had a woman minister in government in charge of the farming committee. And the farmers are meant to be given so much money each year according to the size of the farm or whether they need it, etc. The Welsh Assembly paid the money out to the Welsh farmers, but it never got paid out to the British farmers. And suddenly, Blair sacked the woman in the Agricultural Committee. The money had all disappeared. She's now going round the world behalf of the government.
Hold that. We'll be back here in just a moment with Josie McDonald as we evaluate what's going on in Great Britain and the agricultural industry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. I guess this afternoon is Josie McDonald, and she is calling from Great Britain, and she's telling us what's going on over in Europe. Now, you must understand that England is much further along in this road to centralized planning than the United States is. And England is simply getting, the English farmers are getting directives from the European Parliament. The European Parliament is, Sydney is answerable to no one. There's a massive...
I can't hear. I'm going to
ask my producer to go ahead and just call you back. You hang up, and we'll call you right back, okay? Yeah, let's see if we get a better line. And this seems to happen every time we get somebody on the line from Great Britain. So I'm going to ask my producer to call Josie back again. Anyway, of course, what's happening in Europe is that you have a centralized planning like they did in Russia. In any fascist society, it isn't voted in by the people. It's not answerable to the people. But this centralized authority located in Strasbourg and Brussels now is sending directives to the British farmer on how they will farm. And, of course, everything is increasingly regulated by this faceless bureaucracy. The plan has really been always to create a worldwide dictatorship. And, of course, what's happening in Europe is, of course, this is the first step. The European Union, the North American Union, South American Union, the Asian Union, the African Union, the Arab Union, then they'll all be joined together into this one world government with a new world religion and a new world religion. But what's really happening as far as the British farmers are concerned is, of course, their income is being markedly limited. Josie was just saying that money was appropriated to help the farmers because, of course, they have to then compete with the farmers from Europe who are being subsidized. So they paid money to the Welsh farmers, but then they didn't pay any money to the British farmers. So I'm going to have my producer keep going ahead and trying to get Josie back on the line. Maybe she didn't understand that she has to hang up so we can call her back. So hopefully we can get her back on the line. She's a fascinating individual on the front line of trying to warn about the dangers of genetically modified food. And genetically modified food is not safe. In fact, today we're finding it here in the United States. The honeybees are all disappearing. And, of course, they put into many of our crops a insecticide. We'll be right back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I'm hoping that we can get Josie McDonald back on the line. But certainly here in the United States, why, we have these major corporations that have come up with a wonderful idea. Instead of having to spray insecticides onto our corn and other crops, why don't we just put something into the genes of the corn that will kill caterpillars? And so what they've done is they've taken a bacteria, which is an insecticide, it's in the soil, and they've taken a fragment of that gene, they put it into every kernel of corn, every bit of pollen in a corn plant, every leaf of the corn. And you notice that we don't see the caterpillars in our corn anymore. Isn't that wonderful? But, of course, the problem is that it not only kills caterpillars, it kills other insects. And suddenly the bees all across America and all across Europe where this type of BT corn is being utilized, why, it's all dying off. The bees are dying off, and some people have lost 20% of their hives, and other people have lost 50% of their hives, and other people have lost 80% of their hives. Well, about a third of the food that is consumed in America has to have bees to fertilize or to pollinate the crops, and this would be all of our cherry crops, our citrus crops, things of that sort. And without bees, certainly you're not going to have any almond crop this coming year. In fact, you have to get large numbers of bees in there. You know, they're talking about, you know, literally tens of thousands of hives simply to pollinate the almond crop. It costs maybe $30 a hive. This year they're going to be paying $150 a hive, and that's going to be passed on in the cost of the almonds. But nobody in our government can figure out why all the bees are dying. They're just flying away, and they're never coming back. They're not coming back to the hive. And yeah. Oh, shucks, you would think that in a country like this, there'd be somebody smart enough to want to investigate that, but all funding has been cut off for research. Why? Well, I don't think they want to find out, because if we found out, we might be able to reverse it. And I believe, of course, there are people in the world today who believe there are too many people in the world, and one solution is, of course, famine. And I believe we are moving towards a worldwide famine. There's a wheat blight that is sweeping across Africa and Asia, certain parts of South America, that's literally wiping out the wheat crops, but you're not hearing about it here. We do not have the large food reserves we've had in the past. People in America couldn't imagine ever going hungry. Or maybe we ought to start thinking about it. Well, Josie, why don't you tell us about what's going on over in Europe? And you were met there in Europe. You were asked to go to Switzerland to talk to a group of people about the danger of genetically modified food. And Josie McDonald's back on the line. So you tell us what happened.
Well, bees always go to, towards a plant that is mature, and they think that there is the right juice for them, more or less, and take it. But it's now found that where they attack the GM crops, they have found that the chemical in it has been found in the stomach of inside the stomach area of the bees. And it just kills them. So you lose the bees. But if there's no GM, bees can carry the from the plant for 8 miles. They might drop it then, and another one pick it up.
And of course, what's happened is we're contaminating all the non-genetically modified crops with, of course, this altered pollen that comes with this insecticide. And if you had an insecticide and something the bee is going to eat, wouldn't somebody be smart enough to think that maybe it would kill the bees? Oh, no. Nothing to worry about. The government certified these crops are perfectly safe. Well, they knew it killed the caterpillars. All of this information is being suppressed, and one of these days they're going to come along and say, oh, shucks, it was a mistake. No, it's not a mistake. There really are people who have a population-controlled agenda, and they intend for millions of people to starve. And they did that, of course, in China, where they killed 40 million people between 58 and 62, and you'll never see that mentioned anywhere here in the United States. That's the Great Hunger. You can look it up on the Internet. They usually use the figure 30 million they starved to death. Never mentioned in our textbooks, never mentioned by our politicians, because, of course, the Chinese government are such good people, and that's why we're subsidizing them today. But pick up the story there, Josie, please.
Well, the second day that I was in Switzerland, our hostess took me down to a huge hall in the village a mile or two away, and it was packed tight with people who'd come to listen to my talk on the dangers of GM. And two of them came up to me and said, we've flown in from Austria because we heard you talk on this 2 years ago in an international meeting with nearly every country in the world in Austria 2 years ago. And so we had come again. Austria has tried to tell the EU that it doesn't want GM.
Now, by GM, you mean genetically modified foods, right?
Yes. And they're saying that they've got flat ground away from the mountain area, and they want to be able to grow non-GM stuff there. The European Commission called them to their court and banned them from doing it.
In other words, they wouldn't allow this information to get out. They don't want the people to know how dangerous this is.
No. Well, the meetings, it was absolutely crowded. And they then announced that it was lunchtime. But it took a while before we got the lunch because there was so much clapping and cheering. I felt as if I'd got wings and was floating. And then an American came up to me who'd come over to listen to it. And he presented me with a book called Biowarfare and Terrorism by Francis A. Boyle. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of it. I haven't read it, but I've heard of it.
Well, it's really related to GM. They are using all sorts of organisms, and they're using the testing of them and that in most of the agricultural sections of the universities in America. And it's very dangerous because they're bringing in a product which contains GM, and also it works on organisms that they've selected. And it's extremely dangerous, but they're saying, oh, well, it will retrieve or it will come out. No, it's being designed now to be a war weapon. And the articles on that are in this small book, which Francis Boyle has written. And he's at one of your big agriculture sections in the universities. And the biological weapons that they are producing, they're trying to say it's a way of defending yourself in a war. It's not. They are now starting to use it in a war.
And the war is against, of course, the people of the world, because there are too many people, and we can't let the American people know that that is one of the major thrusts of American foreign policy, is to decrease the world's population.
Yes. It's, they're beginning to expose it. You had one lot of trouble with anthrax, didn't you, within the government? At one stage, the American government found that when they handled the envelopes of the correspondence, they got anthrax. And then they started to discover what was going on with these GM crops. But instead of banning it and holding it back, they're letting them get on with it.
Yeah, and of course, don't many of these GM crops actually, in animal studies, show damage to the kidney and the liver and other organisms of the animals?
Well, this is now set up for warfare, which will do it to humans.
Right.
And they haven't really gone through the proper investigation into the organisms that have been added into it. When it's going to stop, we don't know. It's seems to be very, very secretive. The person who gave it to me was a senator, and I don't know his name. And he gave me the book, and he said, there's my signature in this, we're on your side. And there were 16 other American signatures in it. The book I'm now starting to get through, it shows that they will be using this in the present war.
You're talking about the coming war over in the Middle East?
The Middle East war.
Right.
And where the real good scientists have said, you know, this is dangerous. You're using organisms that are very dangerous in it, and they can't find out exactly what everything is there. But what has come into my head is this why Blair kept making continuous visits to the Prime Minister in America? And is he involved in it as well? It will be very, very difficult to find out, because the man is hated throughout the country. The sooner he gets out, the better this country will be. But we now have, in just over a week, an election in the Welsh Assembly. And they have refused to come out and ban GM foods. The supermarkets in this country have banned GM foods. They won't sell them at all.
And here they're not even allowed in America to know which food is genetically modified and which is not.
It's very dangerous.
All right, fine. Well, it's where some of our stations won't be with us for about 4 minutes, but you continue telling us why our general are genetically modified foods dangerous? What danger do they pose to us?
The organisms that they fire into them. It's difficult to describe because it's very, very secretive.
What we know, I mean, there have been scientific studies that showed the kidney damage, the liver damage, and then, of course, there have been some studies that show that they can damage fertility in males. Certainly they do it in male animals, and we would assume it would do it in human males as well, but that would be a real benefit if you were really in this for population control.
Well, they've put in all sorts of organisms, you know, which we would normally, if we had an outbreak of any disease, we have to get another chemical that's known and put in it. But they can't do that. Once you've eaten this stuff and got caught, or they're saying if you're using it, we don't know quite how they're using it in the war, but they are using it now. And presumably, organisms that they're using will go in with it and completely very dangerous to whoever gets in the way of it.
Well, are you suggesting that the organisms in the food, or that they have genetically modified the food so it will be more toxic to for one reason or another?
Yes. We've also got some trouble with the European organization. The EU told us that we had to close down all our post offices. And we go there for the stamps, to post parcels, because they weigh them and tell you the value of the stamps you need to put on it. We don't know what's in the parcels of other people and things. And now in this country, we have a big problem because our government is merely the mouthpiece of the EU. And the auditors have not passed the EU accounts for 12 years running.
And they have not audited the European Union accounts.
I went over to Brussels to the headquarters of the organization Friends of the Earth. And they had tried to get the documents showing the results of experiments on GM items. And they couldn't find them. They couldn't get them anywhere. So an ombudsman was called in, and he investigated it, and he said they were right, that the European Commission were hiding the documents showing the results of GM. And they were guilty. He then said that they were also guilty in the EU of maladministration. And nothing has been done to right this at all. Our government is hand in glove with the European business, and it's not available. I have fought my way in there and started trouble before now, because we've got all thousands of our youngsters buried across the world.
Hold that thought right there, will you please, Josie? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Josie McDonald, and she is really on the front lines of the battle in Europe to expose the dangers of genetically modified food. You're not hearing hardly anything about it here in America, or if you do hear about it, of course, the people, are categorized as the people who believe in black helicopters and who believe there was a conspiracy behind 9-1-1, or they're characterized as being like Rosie McDonald, who really is sort of a nut, and anybody who tries to tell the American people the truth will be vilified and demonized and attacked, because they cannot let the American people know, or the British people know, they're being poisoned. Now, Josie is saying that in Europe, of course, there are extensive studies on the dangers of genetically modified food, but those have been hidden. And they were finally able to get the ombudsman, in other words, he's the impartial judge, to look into this for the European Parliament, and he came up with that conclusion. They're hiding the truth, but, of course, when they try to get it Why? They continue hiding it. Why? Well, you can't let the people of Europe know that they're being poisoned, but at least so far, in large part, they've been able to keep the genetically modified food out of Europe. Isn't that correct, Josie, that most European countries will not let in genetically modified food, or have you been forced to give in yet?
We won't give in.
All right, fine. Well, here
we've still got it banned, but they started producing GM potatoes, and the farmers in the east of the country are mainly growing food crops, and rather than having stock and cattle and that, and they disobeyed. They planted the GM potatoes, and we haven't had a report on what has gone on further, if the ministry have tested them and given a report. They haven't done so far.
Well, we do know, of course, there was we have a book called GM Food, Beware Genetically Modified Food, or GMO. Beware Genetically Modified Food. And it told the story of a scientist, who had actually run animal studies on genetically modified potatoes, and he found it was producing all sorts of cancer and problems with these animals, and he was threatened, and eventually, of course, he lost his job because he tried to warn against the danger of these genetically modified potatoes. So now they're going ahead, and have they actually released them for the public, or are they just...
No, they haven't released them for the public.
And, of course, this is the problem, though, is whenever you create these genetically modified foods, especially if there's any sort of pollen, it can spread from one area to another. And this has happened here in the United States with the rice crops. They've contaminated literally almost all of the rice crops of the Central Valley of California. And they say, oh, no, this is not, the pollen's not going to spread. Oh, shucks, well, look, it did spread there. Looky there. Yeah. And we've been contaminated almost the entire rice crop of California with the genetically modified food. And many countries will not accept this, and rightfully so. But here in America, you're not allowed to know whether it's genetically modified or not, and it certainly is not safe for human consumption. At least the government hasn't even said that. But, of course, it's going to be consumed. You're jolly well sure of that. Go ahead, Josie.
Well, a few months ago, the Americans did test long grain rice that was GM and found it was dangerous. So you know what they did? They shipped it to this country. And luckily, the supermarket found out, and nobody bought it at all, and it got destroyed.
All right, well, we'll probably ship it off to the Africans and let them die then.
Well, I helped the head over here of Zambia when they had a terrible shortage of food in the southern part of Zambia, and the northern part of Zambia had plenty, but they couldn't move the surplus by road down to the south because they haven't got a tarmac road linking them. But America flew in corn, GM corn, there. And this foreign minister that I had met in London and kept in touch with, he said, we just don't know what to do. And I said, well, burn all the stuff that America has sent because it's all quite dangerous. And now they've got things moving right. They have used airways occasionally, and they have made the southern part of the country to grow different crops every year. They have been monoculturing and growing the same crops every year. And gradually, they don't do so well. And things have come right now, and they're not having GM. I phoned the Minister of Agriculture in Cameroon, where another man and I set up the first agriculture.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly you actually got them. Did they burn the genetically modified crops in Zambia, in southern Zambia then?
Yes, the ones that America sent, because they sent GM.
See, because the American people don't understand what's going on. They're not allowed to understand about these things. Because the American people wouldn't understand, they were poisoning the people throughout the world. We're poisoning with food and with vaccines, and so much of what we're doing has all to do with the population control agenda. When you understand that, so much of what's going on in the coming war in the Middle East already begins to take on a much more meaning. The reason why a third of our young men, when they come back from the Gulf War at the present time, a third of them are ill within 3 months. I wonder why. Well, the government doesn't know. They say it's stress. No, I don't believe that for 1 minute. I think they know what they're doing. They just can't let the American people know what they're doing. Well, Josie, then you were saying, what about Cameroon?
I phoned the agriculture minister and said, are you being pestered by any company producing GM? He said, yes, I am. He said, Monsanto are telling me that it's the best stuff in the world, more or less. And I just don't know enough to know what it all involves. So I said, shall I send you the papers? And I sent him a big wadge of papers explaining it and the dangers and how to get rid of it. And in this country, the pollen from corn can travel 135 miles. They found it 49 miles over the North Sea. So once you've planted it, there's no way you can stop it spreading in your other crops and even across the channel to France from here. So this is why we're not giving in at the moment. And but you've had big trouble, I believe, ever since the terrible plane crash into that building. And according to this book of Francis Boyle, who is a scientist, they said, in October 2001, the world witnessed terrorist anthrax attacks on the American government that were obviously designed to shut down the U.S. Congress with a very critical moment. That is, immediately after the terrorist attacks. It was during the precise moment that Congress should have been in session, making vital decisions, exercising strict oversight on this, and the executive branch of government, and in particular, the White House under President George Bush, the Department of Justice, and Attorney General...
Hold that right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Josie McDonald, and she was simply talking a little bit about this book she has by Francis Boyle, which I haven't had a chance to read, but it's on biological warfare, and pointing out that, of course, after the 9/11 attack, why, of course, we had an anthrax attack. You remember that? Because what it was done was designed to terrify members of Congress and the Senate into voting in new legislation. Nobody's ever commented on the fact that the only senators who received anthrax-laden letters just happened to be Democrats who would have opposed that legislation. But go ahead. No Republican senators got any anthrax-laden letters, but the Democrats did. I guess those terrorists just don't like Democrats. Go ahead.
It was against the Democrats. The Democrats had tried to ban it. And it was taken on by the present president. It's like children playing with something they've just discovered. There are... All sorts of dangerous organisms going into this mixture, which they're using for warfare.
Well, of course, what's really so interesting is that everybody in the White House was started on Cipro, the antibiotic specific for anthrax, on the evening of September 11th. I'm sure there are very few Americans who are really concerned about the possibility of an anthrax attack on September 11th, but the people in the White House were concerned enough to start a potentially dangerous antibiotic for themselves and the members of the White House staff on the evening of September 11th, and they maintained that for 6 weeks. And fact, said that the Vice President Cheney was unable to play a tennis, which he ordinarily does on a regular basis, because, of course, the antibiotic potentially weakens the tendons and they can rupture. So he had to take this antibiotic. But why would he take it unless he knew there was going to be an anthrax attack? And how did he know there was going to be an anthrax attack? And if he knew there was going to be an anthrax attack or suspected it, why didn't they warn the other people in government? Why just the White House staff? And why have they never found out who, of course, who was responsible for the anthrax letters that went to Democrat senators? Go ahead, Josie.
When President Nixon got in, he banned this. He discovered what was happening. So he was opposed to all this present system.
And, of course, he passed the biological warfare treaty back in 1972. But what President Nixon didn't understand is the experiments continued going on, irrespective of what the treaty agreements were, except now instead of it being in favor of aggressive warfare, now it was defensive warfare, and that was all right. You could create these new diseases as long as they were just for defense. Not offense. I'm not quite certain how organisms know whether they're being used for offense or for defense, but I guess I guess I'm not smart enough to figure that out. Go ahead, Josie.
When they're producing this stuff, they're not really looking into the organisms that are being used and seeing what is going to happen to them. And it says in their book that many scientists and concerned citizens thought that after this anthrax business, Pandora's box had been closed. Sadly, at the very point in human history when we thought this scourge had been put behind us, the Bush administration launched a major program which threatens to put to death some of the people at a greater risk than the hazard to which they claimed to have been responding to. As Professor Boyle demonstrates with unusual candor, knowledge, and commitment, the growing of bioterror programs represents a significant emerging danger of our own population.
Oh, I'm sure that they do. In fact, I'm sure they have terrible chemical and biological weapons. And I fear as we move into World War III, why, of course, they're going to be unleashed on the public and unleashed on the people of the Middle East and of the people of Europe and right here in America. And, of course, so many of these were actually developed right here in America. In fact, Saddam Hussein's biological weapons many of them were actually produced here in America and sold to Saddam Hussein. And that's why we had to blow up the bunkers over there so that nobody would find that so many of these weapons had been built and produced by the United States of America. So they blew up the bunkers and, of course, spread the chemical and biological weapons all over southern Iraq at the end of the first Gulf War. But go ahead.
Well, the vote in our parliament was against going into Iraq, and Blair just ignored them.
You're talking about in Europe, of course, in England. Why the people there didn't want to go into Iraq. And any more than the American people wanted to go into Iraq. And certainly the American people want to get out of Iraq today. And the last thing the average American wants is to go to war with Iran. And the Iranian people don't want to go to war with America. But it would appear that forces have been set in motion that are intent upon bringing us into World War III. It's only a matter of time. And it may be only a matter of weeks at the present time.
Mm. Well, you know, they've got all sorts of weapons now, and the sooner it finishes, that I think when we have the election, which isn't far off now, we're pretty sure that Blair won't get in. But the head of the Scottish Parliament, a Scotsman, who is the head of the Exchequer at the moment in government, and the Exchequer money is disappearing, we won't have a very good government then. And Blair will not support us in banning GM. So we've got a problem there with the Prime Minister.
Now, you're saying that Blair will support you as far as banning genetically modified foods?
He won't let them make a statement and say it's banned. And the same in the Welsh Assembly.
In other words, they will not allow these issues to be brought up any more than, of course, here in California, why we can't do anything to ban the fluoridation of water or ban the use of aspartame, which are being used to poison our people, and certainly we're not allowed to ban genetically modified food, but they should be banned, because, of course, they are deadly as far as the population is concerned, and the animal studies show that. But they can't let the American people know that.
Well, we've got big trouble here. We have a place where a few factories are, and there's a big factory making the farm animal feed. And I see the lorries coming in from the port bringing in GM soya. And GM soya can make men infertile. And I got in touch with the manager and said, are you selling the farmers any GM-free foods at all? And he wrote back after a long time and said, yes, we do have one that doesn't have to be labeled GM. He said, because it contains less than 0.9% GM.
All right, so basically then what happens is they sell the genetically modified food to the farmers. And many of these genetically modified foods will make the animals certainly impotent or non-fertile. And we really know what it does to the human beings.
It's very sly, you see, for the trading standards and government to get together and bring in the state that if it's less than 0.9% GM, they don't have to label it and it's perfectly all right. It's not all right. I mean, if there's 2% of it in, it's still not right.
Because, you know, here in the United States, the testosterone level of men has dropped almost 50% over the last 20, 25 years. And on sucks, nobody can figure out why that's happening. The sperm count in men is down about 50% here in America. But on sucks, nobody in government can figure out why that's happening. And then, of course, then we know that the fertility rates are down. And nobody can figure out why that's happening. They know why that's happening. They just don't want the American people to know.
No, they don't want to get involved. But this is a way of getting GM into the animals and everything by saying, you know, that there's only 1% missing. And I've put a warning out to farmers, and I've said also, if this is what it does to human men, then you better watch what results you're getting from your bulls.
Well, of course, the thing is that we know that certainly in pigs, and our book on GMO, Beware Genetically Modified Food, tells the story of what happened to the pigs, and some of the farmers here in the United States, you know, almost went bankrupt. Some of them did because they were using genetically modified food to feed the pigs grain, and of course, then they became infertile. So what a wonderful technique, and nobody would ever suspect what's going on.
No. And, you know, the scientists that are working on these things, they're not bothering to look at the results obtained from the organisms that they're putting in. And they just to put them in, they're not really looking through them properly at all. And we're trying to get the farmers not to take in anything from this big company, BOCM, here and that. And there are only a few very small businesses that sell the animal food and don't use any GM at all.
But most of them do sell the contaminated food, is that right?
Yep. No, the big one here does, and there are some other bigger animal feed factories. And they are using some GM.
So basically they just sneak it in a little at a time, and it'll be so gradual that people will not understand why this is happening. And then suddenly people are going to wake up and say, gee, I wonder why the testosterone levels of men are down. I wonder why so many men are having sexual dysfunction. I wonder why the sperm counts are down. But we can't figure it out because we're just not smart enough.
No, it's just soya. GM soya.
Soybeans, you mean? Are you talking about soybeans?
Well, it will be in the beans if it's in the plant.
Right, okay.
And We have two brothers farming on the west coast here, and the government thinks they're wonderful farmers, but they keep trying to grow GM crops, and all the neighbors immediately go in and pick them all out. And they said, oh, they'll grow them, and the neighbors won't find out when they plant it. And they have a big cattle show there every year. And at the cattle show, these two brothers showed their cattle and everything, and the rest of the farmers beat them up.
In other words, the rest of the farmers are frightened to death. They're going to start using their genetically modified foods, and then their pollen is going to contaminate all the other fields. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
But you see, Blair said that we had to have another section of trading standards who did spot checks on items to see if there was any GM there. And so I phoned the trading standards. They put me on to somebody else, and I finished up phoning six different people. The government had set up not just the trading standards to do the job, but other small companies. And as a result, it was being passed from one to the other, and they weren't doing their jobs.
Well, I'm sure you're not very popular with the government or with the people from Monsanto or the others who are trying to get this genetically modified food accepted in Great Britain and on the continent. Have they done anything to try to stop you from getting the information out?
No. No, I can get the information out.
Well, are the farmers listening to you, and are the beef
yes,
people?
Yes. Well, the farmers don't want it.
They're smart enough to realize that God did a pretty good job putting food together. We really don't need Monsanto adulterating it.
It's really, you know, I tackled the head of the Veterinary Commission in the EU and said that what was his attitude towards GM food and crops and the feed for the animals. And he said, well, I haven't really looked into it properly. Perhaps I should. So I sent him a load of material. He phoned me back. He said, this is not good animal food. This is poisonous.
Would you mind sending me a packet of that information? I would certainly like to get what you have. You could, of course, contact Mr. Theobald, and he'd get it over to me if you wouldn't mind sending it. And I'll disseminate it here in the United States and make it available to our listeners. Would you do that for me?
Yes.
Now, of course, you know, the tragedy is that so many people, unless they've taken the time to study and looked at the scientific studies, really have no idea. And, of course, if the media is controlled and does not tell us we're being poisoned, how would anybody know that they're poisoning our children, that they're poisoning our elderly, that they're poisoning our citizens and destroying the fertility of our men?
Well, you see, your universities, Illinois and places like that, the scientists doing all this work are not letting it out to the public. And as a result, the organisms that are being used are good for the people who produce them and provide them. But there are very serious organisms being added into all this stuff. They're not looking at that because they know that they're going to find as a danger, so they're ignoring it.
Are you having the trouble with your bees over there like we're having trouble with bees here?
No.
Yeah. In other words, are your beehives, are the bees disappearing from your beehives?
Yes, but we haven't got many beehives around here.
What about on the continent? Because I was just reading an article today that said many of the beehives on the continent were having difficulty. As well as, of course, here in the United States, you know, sometimes, you know, up to 80% of the bees are dying off, somewhere between 20 and 80, but usually it seems to be about 60% of the bees are just dying off, and, you know, there's going to be a very, very serious problem with pollinating the crops this year.
Yes, you see, they're taking the liquid from the GM crops, I suppose. We haven't got many people with beehives now. They seem to have gone out because it's been coming in from other countries much cheaper.
I see. Well, but you haven't heard anything about on the continent where they're having difficulty. I just wanted to verify what I've been reading here.
Mm. Can you get hold of this book?
Yes, I'm sure I can. I've heard
Francis
of the book
Boyle.
By Francis Boyle.
Its title is Biowarfare and Terrorism.
Biowarfare and Terrorism. I'm sure it's available here.
Yes, it would be, because it's not available here. I don't know who the printers are. Oh, it's Clarity Press.
Who is the publisher?
Clarity Press.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll track it on down here. I guess it's been Josie McDonald. Do you have a web page that all people could go to, Josie? Do you have a web page?
No, I don't.
All right, fine. Well, you can
look
Josie up on the internet
letters.
And get her information. She is known all over Europe for her opposition to genetically modified food and trying to save the people of the world.
Well, Europe is fighting against it now. And also, we've got in touch with New Zealand. I heard the New Zealand Prime Minister say that she was considering letting them try GM crops. And I immediately faxed her and said, if you do that, we will cancel all our orders for New Zealand lamb in the winter when we haven't got lamb. And that night I heard, it was in bed, and I heard a funny noise, and there was a fax coming through with a big badge on top of the paper and signed by the Prime Minister of New Zealand, thanking her for the warning. And she had asked her environment minister now to set up a committee looking deeply into it. And in the meantime, they won't grow GM crops.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And it's amazing what one person with determination can do. And Josie has been sort of on the front lines of this battle there in Europe. And basing what she says upon the scientific facts, she's been able to be very, very effective. So if you'll be sure to get copies of your packets, you know, to Robert Theobald, who's the go-between between you and me, and ask him to send them to me. He'll do that, and then we can, of course, disseminate that here. It's vitally important that the American people understand what is going on and, of course, help us get the information out. And certainly, you know, the thing is that the fact that you're not allowed to put on your package whether it's genetically modified food or not, and a lot of the growers and people who are producing things that are not genetically modified, for instance, the dairy farmers who refuse to use the recombinant bovine growth hormone, RBGH hormone, which is carcinogenic, they're not allowed to put that on their packages so that people will know that their milk is not carcinogenic like the rest of the milk is.
This is Monsanto, isn't it?
Right, it is. And the fact
they've
that
been fined twice for bribery and corruption.
And, of course, the thing that most people are sitting out in the audience saying, that can't be true. Well, of course, we hope you want to get our four tape sets on this very subject, on genetically modified food. It's vitally important that people find out if it is true. And, of course, get the books that are available on the subject and then help us get the information out. Well, Josie, I really appreciate everything that you're doing. I congratulate you for having the willingness to put your effort into trying to save the lives of countless millions of people. Because, of course, if the people from Monsanto and these people in favor of population control have their way, then I believe hundreds of millions of people are going to die throughout the world unnecessarily.
Well, in India.
We're out of time. God bless, and thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you could understand most of what Josie said. She speaks with an English accent, but basically she has been leading the charge there in England and on the continent against the European Parliament, against the faceless bureaucracy that controls the governments over there. And it's amazing what one person with determination can do. And Joseph says scientific studies, and the scientific studies show how dangerous these things are many times. These studies are suppressed, and they have to be gotten by one means or another. But they're simply poisoning the population. People say, why would anybody do that? And the answer is very simply, they believe there are too many people in the world. Now, we do carry a book called, it's a very small, little, inexpensive book called Beware GMOs, Beware the Genetically Modified Food. It's got a lot of great information in it. We have an excellent four-tape set on this, and of course you'll be able to get it in CDs if you'd like, either four tapes or four CDs on genetically modified food, and you'll learn all about the recombinant bovine growth hormone and the insulin factors there and in the milk, which is carcinogenic. Certainly, the incidence of prostatic cancer goes up markedly for people who are drinking milk as they get older. And that is well known, and they're suppressing that information. And if you're taking the recombinant bovine growth hormone-produced milk, why your incidence of prostatic cancer goes up. So why do you think one in three men today gets prostatic cancer? But of course, you're not supposed to know that. There's so much out here that is being suppressed from the American people. Let me suggest Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And then a couple of the four-tape sets we have on with Russell Blaylock, Life-Saving Secrets, and then, of course, the best of Dr. Blaylock for the year 2006. And of course, we'll soon have other four-tape sets on this subject as well. You need to get the information. You need to learn that there really are people who have a different worldview. And then, of course, you want to know how the poison is with fluoride, why you can get our four-tape sets. You can get our various DVDs and the book we carry on the fluoride deception. If you want to know how the poison is with mercury, why, of course, you need to get the four tape sets on mercury, on autism, great books we have on vaccines, and vaccines and autism, there are two of them, and then Sherry Tenpenny's books on vaccine, which we're just offering now, which we think you need to have the facts, and then you need to decide. We have a couple of DVDs on mercury. One's called The Smoking Truth. Another one is called Thimerosal, and you'll actually see the interviews with Dr. Geyer, and these people have done amazing studies. They found out if you compared groups that have taken Thimerosal, children, Thimerosal-laden vaccines, with groups that did not. And they went to the secret CDC archives. They found the incidence was 27 times higher autism in those that got the thimerosal-laden vaccines. Amish children do not come down with autism. Why? Because they won't give them the vaccines. So they're intentionally poisoning our children, and they're still putting it in childhood vaccines, or at least vaccines that are given to children, like the influenza vaccine. So what they do is they play word games. Oh, we've taken the thimerosal out of childhood vaccines. No, they've taken thimerosal out of the vaccines for childhood diseases, but influenza is an adult disease, so you can give it to a six-month-old child or a pregnant woman, so it'll do the maximum damage to the life and to the mind of the child in the womb. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want the documentation on what we're talking about, give us a call. We'll be glad to steer you to reliable websites where you can get the truth that you're not going to get elsewhere. Again, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, and to understand there are evil and wicked people out there.